high school has started again, and they requested me to do longer sermons. We start off with the column. It says not to be anxious about earthly things. That's really tough to do. And the only way to do that is to truly to love heavenly things and to hold fast, like really, literally, hold on tight. Don't let go. Don't forget. Keep it in your mind, your heart, and in your hands. At all times, those things that shall endure. So we ask ourselves, all right, what endures? Well, we know the answer. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God's heavenly kingdom, and through Jesus, God's Son, what endures is God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's acceptance. Loving heavenly things, holding fast to what will endure. Well, to do this, we need to pray and to remember that Jesus, his salvation, and as I said before, God's kingdom and our eternal life, that's what endures, hence the use of the word eternal. Eternal life, that's what we strive for. We need to let go of the me way of living and thinking. It's pervasive in each and every one of us and in our culture and in the world. There's nobody that doesn't think of themselves. We just need to grow up and we need to grow in Christ and to learn to do what he says. It's not all about me. It's all about God. And that's what the lessons are teaching us today. Amos, Luke, and the gospel. It teaches us what God sees, what he expects, what he desires, and even in 1 Timothy, it tells us how to accomplish it. So in Amos, he starts off with, "Hear this, you that trample on the needy, and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, so that we may sell our grain, and the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale?" Well, in their language, that was saying, okay, when are the holy days are going to be done? When are they finished? When is the church service going to be over? Because we want to get back to work. We want to get back to selling things. We want to be making money for ourselves. Basically, that's what they were saying. And Amos was a prophet, and he could see this through God's eyes. And he was always about social justice. So he warns the people of Israel who were being cruel and abusive to the poor and to the helpless. Amos warns how God cares for all people. And what's hard for us to understand is, yes, God cares and he doesn't forget about the poor and the helpless. But God also loves the abusers. Does that make it right? No. But God's love is infinite and hard for us to understand. But through Jesus, and by study, and by being present with God, we can learn. And then for those who have the ability, and for those who have the knowledge, the awareness of what God wants, us being Christians, we are to be really mindful of the helpless, those in need, the poor, the needy. Everyone, absolutely everyone, is to be treated fairly and with God's love and respect. God's people, that's us, are to be a caring people, which role is the role model for us is Jesus. We are not to be aloof or smug or conceited. We are not to be neglectful or self-absorbed or squandering our money on extreme or even obscene, needless extravagances while the poor are suffering in our midst, while their basic needs are not being met. Everyone needs to be cared for. Everyone needs to hear about Jesus' hope. Everyone needs encouragement. But it's not only squandering money, it's the squandering of God's gifts. Each and every one of us, through the Holy Spirit, has abilities, has gifts. And we are not to be, let's say, a little bit lazy and aloof and not do what God expects us to do. So we don't want to squander God's love or God's gifts to us. Now the gospel, wow, that's a really interesting gospel today. It's got a twist. And I'm going to try to not go overboard, but I'm going to do my best. It's a surprise because it's a unique parable, something we look at and think, what? You know? So we have the master, the king, the head macho. Then we have the steward, or we can call him a manager. And then we have the debtors. And if I remember on Tuesday, I'm going to use a parable or an analogy on that myself. But first, the first point is that the manager, the steward, is being lazy. He's not being honest about his work. He's not caring about what the master asked him to do. So he was squandering, not caring, not faithful, not doing his job, not doing what he should be doing. So enters the snitch. The snitch, somebody tells on him. He goes to the master. So now the master knows about it because the master was just, you know, trusting in the manager. So he hears that the manager was squandering his property. So the master calls for the manager, like a kid going to a principal office in school. The manager was accountable to the master, like each and every one of us is accountable to God the Father. So here comes the interesting part of the lesson. Now the manager knew what he had not done, or what he was supposed to do. He failed in doing his job. He failed in his responsibilities. He failed in his being accountable and doing his job for the master. So the master takes away the steward's position. Now the steward, he's thinking to himself because he's finally realized what he has done, or actually the steward finally realized what he hasn't been doing. He hasn't done his job. He hasn't been faithful. So he says to himself basically, oh no, what will I do? And here he starts to be a little bit honest about himself, and he admits that he's not strong enough to dig, and he's too proud, he's too ashamed to beg. So he's thinking, what am I going to do to make things right? So he decides a really interesting way to come about making everybody's life better and being more faithful. In those days, the manager used to get a commission on all the different things he would do in the household. So he was finally willing to give up something of himself, something of his own. He was willing to give up the commission from the people, from the debtors. So by giving up that commission, what happens? By giving up himself and starting to be more faithful to the debtors and to his master, what happens? Everybody is happy. His work ethic started to kick in. His ingenuity started working. His willingness to be generous started. And he was creative in how he was going to solve the problem. So all of these things that the steward did finally restored the master's faith in him, which seems odd. But it also made the debtors happy because they got a discount. When you go to the store, don't you feel good when you get 25% off or you buy one, get one free? So the debtors were happy because they got a discount. They were paid in full. No more debt. Anybody ever be in debt at all in here? Anybody? Am I the only one? No. But it feels good when suddenly you have a bill paid and you know you've used your money wisely. It's extremely needed to have that kind of peace. So anyway, his actions also made the master look good because they were getting a discount. They were no longer in debt to their master, to their king. So everyone was happy. The master, the debtor, and even the steward, because he started to work and respond and to do what was required of him. Now for us, if we look at God as the master, the king, and although it's not a perfect analogy because Jesus Christ is perfect, there was never a time that he was lazy or not faithful, but if we look at Jesus as the one who gets us out of debt, through him we are saved and we are debt free because of Jesus. For us to do what is required from God, Timothy, the lesson from Timothy, we get a clue. Paul tells all of us, and then he teaches us what's needed, our prayer life. Each and every day, it's vital for us. It brings us closer to God. It helps us to think beyond ourselves and do what God wants, not what we want. We learn how to not ignore those who are in need, physically, spiritually, emotionally, or financially. We are to pray for everyone. He even says, everyone, for the kings and all who are in high places. Everyone is to be prayed for. Paul explains that this is what pleases God, and it's God's will. He wants and desires, our Lord wants and desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the Lord. Paul, all of us are appointed by God to be his stewards, his managers. We are to share and bring back everyone. We are to talk about God to everyone. Talk and say and share and witness that there is one God, our Father, one Mediator, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Brother, and the Holy Spirit that empowers us to pray, who empowers us to have the energy to do what we need to do for God, and that's to imitate all of Jesus' actions and be faithful to him. Amen.